Live and local in the afternoon.
Always keep you on edge.
Cattles.
And Rami.
On Sacktown Sports.
By the way, quick note here at the top of the second hour of the show. Domas, Rami, wins Western Conference Player of the Week.
Hey.
He averaged 20-11-8.
It's pretty good.
For your two-seed Kings. Let the good news keep on rolling. And that's what happened on Saturday. We got a lot to get to this hour. We'll talk more Kings with you. We'll talk NFL free agency frenzy happening in the league. But the Kings on Saturday, Rami, beat the Suns 128-119 down in Phoenix. And now you've created a little bit of separation between when you and I called the most dangerous team underneath the Kings in the rankings and all of the standings and ratings and all the systems we have across ESPN and NBA TV. Now, that was with Kevin Durant. And, of course, KD is not with them right now after literally hurting himself in a layup line. But the Suns are...
That was wild, man.
And then the same thing happened to Kuminga for the Warriors, like a day later. These layup lines are dangerous. No more layup lines,
Load management.
Load management the layup lines. So the Suns are now four games back in the loss column behind the Kings, which is nice. And here's the biggest thing that jumped out to me, Rami, on Saturday night. The fact that Kevin Huerter, I want people to truly absorb this. Kevin Huerter, Keegan Murray, De'Aaron Fox, and Domas scored a combined 44 points.
Wow.
Huerter, Keegan, Fox, and Domas scored a combined 44 points in Phoenix. And the Kings still won that game.
Still won that game. That's crazy. I didn't do that math till you just did it, Nick. That you will not see that very often, where your four top scorers and four of your five guys that you lean on with heavy minutes in terms of the scoring load and what you ask of them to do for your offense, you won't see that on, and especially on teams that are number the two seed in their conference. This thing has been almost night in, night out, Domas and Fox, and then one of those other two or three guys that you mentioned there, sort of filling in the role and making it a big three on a given night. You didn't even have a big two on that night. That was your bench doing that, man. And I'll throw a number on top of that. You outscored the Suns bench 65-34 in that game. Mm. And like I said to Jason Anderson last hour when we were talking with him, go and check that out on the Sacktown Sports app later on tonight if you missed it. I'm going down this stretch with the Kings with the presumption that this is a playoff team and trying to figure out some things about them and how deep they can go in the playoffs. Having a deeper bench than what we thought they had 3-4 weeks ago, Nick, with guys emerging, with the addition of Kessler Edwards, who it looks like could give you something productive off the bench, something useful depending on the matchup, that'll go a long way in this Kings team winning playoff series, man, because I'm done just talking about making the playoffs. The drought is over, okay? It's not officially over, but it will be in a couple of weeks. This team could do some things in the postseason if this bench is as productive as we saw on Saturday night. And when your guys have an off night like Domas and Fox and Huerter and Murray did, that there are other ways that you can win. You have to have a number of ways to win basketball games, a number of ways to figure out that puzzle come the postseason, and the Kings keep coming up with new ways to win basketball games.
Here was Coach Brown on Saturday night about his bench.
You talk about our bench. I thought Mezzi and Davion were huge defensively. They were big, and they hit some clutch baskets for us, especially Davion. We wanted to give Malik a quick breather because he had ran a long time, and so we threw Davion in the game, and he hits a big three for us. You know, just the growth that he's shown this year has been amazing. But Mezzi, too, like he's been big. He got his hands on a few balls, get out in transition with his because of his length and his athleticism. He was huge for us tonight, too.
Now, we're going to get to Kessler Edwards, okay? But we actually want to devote a segment to Kessler. That's coming up in a few minutes. We do want to take a look at Kessler and dive deep into what he did on Saturday night and how much of an impact he might have for this team moving forward as we get closer to the postseason. So let's look at the other guys for now, Rami. Malik Monk on Saturday, 18-4-5, a very good all-around game from Malik, hit a number of big shots. And, you know, that is the Malik that we have seen. When it's good Malik, he's not only going to give you the points. He can give you, first of all, assists as the playmaking guy off the bench. But also, he's had some games where he's run into some rebounds. And I thought Saturday night we saw that. And that tells me when you're 18-4-5, that tells me how active Malik Monk was against the Suns.
And they brought it up on the broadcast, the TV broadcast on Saturday night. The chatter about sixth man of the year from Malik Monk died down a little bit as we come down the stretch here, and he keeps on. And I know there have been a couple of blips on the radar where he's sort of regressed back to that Malik Monk that we saw for a couple of months when he went cold. But you're going to get that from a bench player. He has been real, real good, especially since the All-Star break, man. And if you have a sixth man type of the year type guy, sixth man of the year type guy coming off your bench, that again goes a long way in a playoff series, and you have another guy you can count on and rely on to score for you and to sort of run the offense and create for you when you don't have a De'Aaron Fox on the floor. And even when De'Aaron Fox is on the floor, it's just another element to this Kings team that's pretty dynamic when he's right.
Yeah, and the other guy on this bench that has consistently given this team a boost, my man crush gets even more serious by the day on Trey Lyles. I know Chris Verlaw was first to the party on this, but he's not answering my text, so we don't count him anymore. So Trey Lyles just, again, was terrific on Saturday night. I kid, Chris Verlaw. He was just terrific again, 13-4. And he comes off the bench and he gives you a shot of adrenaline. And when you can bank on both Monk and Lyles doing what they've done post-All-Star break, now you're talking about two guys that add so much productivity to the guys that are already going to produce for you with your starting five. I can't say enough about Trey Lyles, who was in and out at the beginning of the year. Malik Monk and Davion have been the only two guys that consistently have gotten, you know, 15 to 20 minutes every night from the beginning of the season to right now. Lyles was out of the rotation for a little bit, but he has been so good. I'm just guessing off the top of my head. It feels like the last 25 games or so, he's been so good, and he continued to be good again, hitting some big shots on Saturday night against the Suns. And if you get that, you feel really good. And then Rami, Cattles and Rami, Sacktown Sports here on a Monday, Davion Mitchell. Davion had 13 points. Mm. And if you look at it, this was his second kind of offensive boost from the bench in the last three games. And we've discussed Davion an awful lot here on the program, and I've been disappointed in his season, not because I don't believe in the player, and I'm not giving up on the player. I just think his fit has been a little funky. I think his confidence waned an awful lot until the All-Star break, but he has shown flashes, and he has shown flashes in two of the last three games. If you can give me 10 points, 10-plus points from Davion coming off the bench to go along with Monk and Lyles, now we're talking.
Do you feel like that we're coming around to that point?
Not there yet.
Okay.
No.
All right.
Not there yet. I need to see more.
He does have a, and I think this is what Jason Anderson was getting at when we talked to him last hour. He has a little bit more confidence to him, and the way that he carries himself, a little bit more pep in the step, swagger, whatever you want to call it. There is something different about him since the All-Star break, and maybe it is just getting a little bit of rest. Sometimes a guy just needs that, needs a break, needs to get away, especially when they're struggling. And it could be, we've talked all season about how it seems like Davion Mitchell is a guy who needs to find a rhythm and needs to have the ball in his hands a lot offensively to find that rhythm. And you had those two games where De'Aaron Fox was out, Davion Mitchell got the start, as he does when De'Aaron Fox is out, and had the ball in his hands a lot and was hitting some shots and was creating for some other guys. Maybe he's not going to get those types of minutes, you know, as long as De'Aaron Fox is healthy, God willing. But maybe he's found some kind of rhythm to his game. Maybe he's sort of hit his stride and is feeling a little bit better about his role and where he's at right now with this team, which would go a long, long way, man, real long way.
When you look at this bench, since the All-Star break, the Kings tweeted this earlier today. Since the All-Star break, the bench ranks in the top five in field goal percentage. They rank in the top five in points per game. They rank in the top five in three-pointers made per game. They rank in the top five in three-point percentage. and they rank in the top five net rating at a plus 4.6. So since the All-Star break, the Kings bench has been one of the best five benches in all of basketball. And when we go back to the offseason, Rami, when Monty was putting this roster together, we talked about the depth of this team. And again, there were some major ebbs and flows pre-All-Star break. But if we are getting that kind of punch from the bench consistently as we head into the playoffs, this team is deep, and this team is even better than we thought.
Yeah, we have to set a whole new ceiling. If this bench can continue to produce this way, you almost have to set a whole new ceiling. Because, Nick, go back to before the season started, and our most optimistic outlook on this roster was maybe, while we liked the roster and we thought it was deeper than we've seen from the Kings in previous years, we thought maybe eight deep tops on a good night. If you can go 8-9 deep in terms of guys that are productive and can play significant roles for you and help you win basketball games,
yep.
That again, as the Kings have done all season long, exceeds any and all expectations that you had for this basketball team.
Yep. And, you know, I'd still like to see a backup big. It's not going to happen, though. I mean, that ship has sailed past. It would have been Nerlens Noel or somebody else. This is the team. So I would have loved a little more versatility in the big man spot off the bench. But, you know, that's a little bit of a nitpick. Because right now this team looks good. They look deep. And they continue to win. 8-1 post-All-Star break. Want your thoughts? 916-339-1140. Text line. Text us about the bench. Text us about the win on Saturday in Phoenix. Also, the phone number's wide open for you. 1-800-920-1140. Don't forget the website, sactownsports.com. Don't forget the app, sactownsports1140. And don't forget our friends at YouTube. You can join the show, watching, listening, and, of course, go back and forth with fellow listeners in the chat. YouTube.com, SacktownSports1140. And when you swing by, give us a thumbs up. We're at 28 likes. Want to get up to 50 by the end of this hour. We've got a very busy show. If you can get us up to 50 likes, that would be fantastic. YouTube.com, SacktownSports1140. We'll get to your reaction on the Kings also in 90 seconds. Did the Kings find a surprising answer to their wing problem off the bench?
Cattles and Robbie. Cattles and Robbie.
Sactown Sports.
Sactown Sports is your new home for the San Francisco 49ers.
Let's go, Niners! Go! Yeah!
Debo.
Debo 10. Debo. Touchdown!
McCaffrey.
I'm just proud to be a 49er.
CMC!
Dynamite!
Kittle.
And it is caught by George Kittle again.
They all live here. Sactown Sports, your official home for 49ers football in the 916. Live and local in the afternoon.
They always keep you on edge.
Cattles.
And Rami.
On Sactown Sports.
Kings fans feeling awfully good today, and they should feel awfully good today. Win number 40 on Saturday night against the Suns. Win number 40 Saturday night, even though you got a combined 44 points from Herter, Keegan, Fox, and Domas. How many of you would have actually believed that was a thing that happened this year if we went back to the beginning of the season? And I told you that four of your starting five would give you 44 points combined on the road in Phoenix, you would have said, oh, that's a loss. But nope, it's actually a 9-point win on the road on Saturday. Another great win. And honestly, I can feel the vibes. You know, Silent asks earlier today on YouTube, are the Kings going to win 50? I think people are, they're putting that on the board now. What do we got, 16 games left?
Mm-hmm.
You go 10-6 over the final 16.
That's not crazy at all.
That gets you. That gets you to your golden 50 number.
That's not crazy at all.
And, you know, Rami's gone back and forth on 50.
Roughly 20 times. No, once I backed off my 50 prediction.
It feels more than once.
Now, once I made it, I backed off of it once for a couple of days, and then I jumped right back on it.
Greg Hyatt.
A little credit for being the first to even throw that number out there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
I shoot higher. than a lot of people. That's why you I'm should not going chant, to give you light the beam wherever you want.
You're not
going to
get any credit. You want to know why you're not going to get any credit?
Why am I not going to get any credit?
Because
Nick.
That is just going to feed the beast. And I'm staying away from feeding the beast. If we allow you to believe that just throwing stuff out there way too early is a good thing, all of a sudden you're going to be
just
Skip
throwing
Bayless.
It out there. I believed it.
You'd be wearing do-rags and burning your Dallas Cowboys jerseys or whatever the hell he does.
I would never resort to Skip Bayless. I said it because I meant it. Overreaction Monday is the one place where you might catch me saying.
You're going to dye your hair blonde. All hell's going to break loose. We don't want any of that.
No, I said they'll win 50 because I believe they could win 50. And now everybody believes that's a possibility. You're welcome to the party, pal.
Pal? All right, bud.
That was a diehard line.
We'll get to reminded me of Vince McMahon. He says pal a lot. It's a wrestling fan of me. We'll get to Kessler Edwards in a minute. But first, let's go to Mike. Mike wants to talk about the Kings. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
It's going great. Well. How you doing, man?
Well, first off, you know, I'm so pumped. You know, we got 40 wins. Nobody thought this was going to happen. I just want to say, I'm normally talking about, you know, Alex Lynn and Holmes, right? The Kings rotation, who knows what's going to happen? Like, nobody knew that Kessler Edwards was going to ball out like Doug Christie. I know it's too early to call him Doug, but what do you guys think about him being a stopper in his young career? Go Kings. That's all I got.
Thank you, Mike. We appreciate you. It's almost as if Mike was part of the show meeting today, because we are going to get into Kessler Edwards. And Greg Hyatt on YouTube said, Kessler Edwards, we didn't think much of the move by Monty, just one game, but looking like a bright defensive piece
that
for now.
That believes in Monty McNair.
And the future. And look, I don't think anybody going into Saturday night had Kessler Edwards on the bingo card as far as him making a huge difference. I don't think even the most optimistic of fans. We have had a couple of people ask about Kessler. I don't even think those people were sitting there going, oh, yeah, just wait until Kessler Edwards gets into this game.
Right.
Then it's really going to start. 12 points, 7 rebounds by Edwards on Saturday in Phoenix. Here was Harrison Barnes at Shootaround talking about the young wing.
I thought that was great. I mean, anytime you get traded midseason, it's tough trying to get acclimated, just trying to get your bearings straight. And I think for him to be able to step up for us the way he did, it was funny because the last time we played in Phoenix, he got in early too. But for him to come in, guard D-Book, just make things happen defensively, knock down out the shot, big shot there at the end. I think it's just a testament to him staying ready, being a professional, and giving us a lift.
So that's HB saying, look, kid stayed ready. Young man was available and went out there and did some really good things. Here was the man himself, Kessler Edwards.
It feels great. You know, I was kind of nervous throughout the game. It was close the whole time, but I'm glad that my coaches, trusted me with that time down the stretch. We were able to pull it out.
I don't know about you, Nick. When we've seen Kessler Edwards since he's come over, it's either been kind of in garbage time of games or at times of games where Mike Brown just doesn't like what he's seeing from his starters, and he
right.
calls one of those classic Mike Brown timeouts and makes some interesting substitutions that seem to send a message. And that message is one that we've heard Mike Brown say throughout the season, which is, look, at this point, we're going to put guys out there who are going to get it done, who are going to do the things we're asking them to do when we get out there. And if it's not you, it'll be somebody. You know what I mean? And I always felt like Kessler Edwards was just that – like threat of like I'll go to Kessler Edwards if you don't get it done, I'll pull the Kessler Edwards
right.
trick on you. And I think it's beyond that. Now, he's not going to play 26 minutes I wouldn't think in playoff games, but he could bring some things to the table that you need off this bench, is what I've seen from Kessler Edwards, and especially on Saturday night. He brings some length, some athleticism, some things that we've been talking about that they kind of need all season long, and maybe he has more of it than what we thought when he was sort of brought over here as an afterthought in that trade.
On Saturday night, Kessler Edwards was what you had hoped KZ Akpala could be. I think that was the idea from Coach Brown. You needed a wing that had some length, had some athleticism, could defend, and knock down the occasional three. KZ had an awful time shooting the basketball. He showed flashes defensively. He also made some mistakes defensively. Whether it was Akpala or Mornecki or anybody else, that's who you were hoping. I think you could also look at it and say, well, hey, maybe, just maybe, you were also looking at Metu as a possibility to be that wing. But then you realized you didn't have enough at the five, so Metu became your small ball five, which left you searching for the wing. And what you saw was what you're hoping for, right? From KZ Akpala earlier in the season, it was, hey, can you defend? Can you spend some possessions on Booker and make it hard on somebody like him? And look, Edwards is not going to be expected to stop Devin Booker. It's just, can you limit him? Can you make it tough on him? And I thought for most of that game when Kessler was in there in defending Booker, he did make it. He did make it at least somewhat tough on Book. And here was Edwards talking about defending Devin Booker.
I knew it was coming. I knew if I was going to be out there, I was going to have to, you know, provide that for the team defensively. So I just did the best I could guarding him. Very tough fair guard, and kept my confidence with that three-point shot.
I'm glad he mentioned the three-point shot.
Mm-hmm.
You want to talk about confidence? You want to talk about short memory? You want to talk about somebody who is just going to do what you ask him to do? On Saturday, you're watching that game, and Edwards bricked a three, right? I mean, just he almost put a hole in the backboard. And you're wondering, would a guy like that getting his first real legit minutes in a pretty big game for him, right? I mean, for the team, especially for him, is he going to have the confidence to come back and take a shot when he's open? And he did. He took the shot and he made it. That was almost as impressive as the defense. Because again, defense is a lot of effort, and he's got the length and athleticism to defend if he wants to. It was the fact that he came back down the floor offensively, did not think twice about taking that big-time three late in that game.
And it seems like, and I think this starts with Mike Brown, but when we talk about culture, and you hear we heard Harrison Barnes talking about it, but read and heard a bunch of quotes of guys talking about Kessler Edwards after the game, and it really feels like that belief in yourself is something that is fostered throughout the organization. Like I said, it starts with Mike Brown, but teammates believing in you and saying, hey, take that shot. I know the last one almost put a hole in the backboard, but if you're open, take that
take
shot.
Yep.
Exactly. And,
yep.
And I think that goes a long way, man, when we talk about the little things that make a good or great basketball team.
I don't think we can predict what's going to happen with Edwards the rest of the year because, as we know, Coach Brown, especially early on when he goes to a guy off the bench, he runs hot and cold. And if Kessler is struggling, even in the slightest, we know Brown will pull him. I do think Coach Brown, though, that has to open his eyes. It opened all of our eyes on Saturday. And I do think Kessler will get another shot coming off the bench as a backup wing. Now, Terrence Davis might have a tough time getting on the floor. But if Kessler's going to give you that kind of defense and can hit the occasional three and be active on the rebounds, 7 rebounds in 26 minutes, I think Coach Brown will give him a shot.
Yeah, you'll find a role for a guy like that.
And I'd be surprised if he didn't get a shot tonight because they're going against a team that is big and long in Milwaukee. And that might be a perfect situation for him to come back and try to defend that bigger Bucks team. 916-339-1140 is the text line. Phone number 1-800-920-1140. Time to check out COSI Medical Clinic, dedicated to providing breakthrough remedies for men. Don't forget the website, sacktownsports.com. Also, the app, Sacktown Sports 1140. The Niners lose a pivotal piece. That and more. NFL free agency news coming up.
Cattles
and Rami.
Sacktown Sports. Sacktown Sports.
Headlines.
It's Simone Rickford with your Sacktown Sports headlines. The Jimmy G roller coaster closes for good in Santa Clara as he plans to take his talents to Las Vegas to sign with the Raiders. Sources shared with ESPN that Garoppolo has agreed to a 3-year, $67.5 million deal, including $34 million guaranteed. Jimmy's departure didn't stop the 49ers from reinforcing their D-line. Adam Schefter reports former Eagles defensive tackle Javon Hargrave has reached an agreement on a 4-year, $84 million deal to come lace up on the West Coast with the red and gold. The deal includes $40 million guaranteed at signing with the Niners. And the Beam team of Sacktown continues to beam. With the 128-119 victory on Saturday, the Sacramento Kings exit the desert with their 40th win.
We're getting 40 wins!
A feat that hasn't been unlocked since the 2005-06 season. So much to get into as we prepare for the Kings hosting the Bucks tonight at Golden 1 Center at 7. But we're going to start with tip-off of game night coverage starting at 5:30 right after Cattles and Rami. I'm Simone. Those are your headlines. We're going to break down the latest NFL signings, cuts, and rumors right now on Cattles and Rami.
One brings Maklof magic, while the other, we're still trying to figure that out.
Cattles and Rami.
Sactown Sports.
Busy, busy day. Of course, we'll get back to the Kings, but today is the beginning of the NFL's legal tampering, which means free agency.
Yeah, free agency started.
That's
today.
What's happening. And we already told you some of the bigger news earlier in the show. Javon Hargrave is now a 49er. Fantastic move by San Francisco. Jimmy G is a Raider. That's official. We all thought that was possible, if not probable. And that is what happened earlier today. Some other smaller notes that I wanted to get to here before we get to the bigger things in a minute. Of local consequence. I know there are Raiders fans out there that listen to the show and listen to the brand. The Raiders have signed defensive back Brandon Faison. Aside from Jimmy G, you bring in Brandon Faison. Of course, we know the Raiders, their secondary needs help. Their entire defense needs help. And on top of that, the Raiders also signed safety Marcus Epps from the Philadelphia Eagles. That is a two-year, $12 million deal, nearly $8 million guaranteed. Epps did start for the Eagles last year. He started all 20 games. So the Raiders trying to address that secondary, bringing in a couple of guys. We'll see if it works for them. But the biggest piece of the puzzle today for them was obviously Garoppolo. Meanwhile, we have Mike McGlinchey news. We've been talking about him an awful lot, Rami. Here was Ian Rappaport from the NFL Network.
Mike McGlinchey was going elsewhere regardless, but the former first rounder is signing a deal with the Denver Broncos. Nothing more important for Sean Payton than making sure Russell Wilson is protected. Gets a huge deal. 5 years, $87.5 million, with over $50 million guaranteed. The Broncos, man, they are spending. Get Ben Powers at guard. Now Mike McGlinchey at right tackle. You got to imagine this would be a better situation for Russell Wilson than it was last year.
For a little while, we thought your Bears were going to get McGlinchey.
It did look that way.
Diana Russini tweeting out that the Bears and McGlinchey were trying to get a deal done. But 5 years, $87 million. Rami, $50 million guaranteed for Mike McGlinchey.
That's eyebrow-raising money. And a lot of people look at that. And I've seen 49ers fans. You mentioned, Nick, I'm a Bears fan. I saw Bears fans cheering, celebrating that their teams didn't pay that type of money. For Mike McGlinchey, especially after, this is not cool, man. The weekend leading up to free agency, I don't know if you saw this, but some of Mike McGlinchey's worst moments of this past season were put in a reel to the tune of Yakety Sax.
Oh.
Yeah, so I think a lot of people saw that, and they're like, I don't want that guy, you know what I mean? Because get ready for this, Nick. Social media can be reactionary.
No.
Yeah, for real.
You don't say.
So I think a lot of people saw that. They saw the price tag. But bottom line is, that's the market, man. You know what I mean? Like, that's just the market for guys who protect the most important position in the sport, in all of North American sports. You know, that's what it was going to take to keep a Mike McGlinchey, and probably more than the 49ers could or would or should have spent at that position when you look at where other money is allotted. So it's a loss for the 49ers. I don't know that I'd pay that amount, but that amount makes sense to me for the right team. Does that make sense, what I just said there?
Yeah, I mean, right. I think if you look at McGlinchey, and obviously Sean Payton and company in Denver trying to fortify that offensive line in front of Russell Wilson. Wilson was terrible last year. You know, one of the first steps that you can make is to go after what you deem as upgrades and put him in front of Wilson and hope that the offensive line gives him time to throw the football and that he doesn't walk into as many mistakes as he was walking into last year and really the last couple of years, frankly, if you look at his last year or two in Seattle. So it makes sense for that team. You hope that they are able to put it together. For now, the Niners, you have McKivitz and who? They need a tackle. And we'll see what happens. As you mentioned, Rami, the offensive tackle market is pretty huge. Andre Dillard, I think, just got like $7 million a year to go to Tennessee, and he was not even ranked in the top 15 of Pro Football Focus tackle options in the free agency period. And he's getting, you know, $7, $8 million a year. So it's a pretty big market. I don't anticipate the Niners being involved at that high of a level. Of course, I did not anticipate them signing Hargrave at the beginning of the day. So who knows what they're going to do. Meanwhile, Aaron Rodgers, he is like the dark cloud hovering over free agency right now. And he's still undecided. He was with Brandon Marshall over the weekend. And this was on YouTube. Brandon was able to kind of track him down and ask him a question about his future and the decision process. Here's what that sounded like.
Well, that was it's always interesting meeting important figures in the sport. It's always interesting. That's all I'm giving.
I'm just there now.
That's all I'm giving.
Hey, Rod.
A little bit of chemistry here.
What we doing, hey, Rod?
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned? How long we got to wait?
Well, I think it won't be long. There's a time limit for all this.
There's a time limit. Mm. Apparently, the time limit is not the beginning of the legal tampering period.
It's not 3:39 p.m.
No.
On Monday, March 13th.
No.
That we know.
I mean, we're sitting here, and let's not get this twisted.
Pacific time.
Aaron Rodgers is holding two teams hostage right now. That's what he's doing. Whether it's his intent or not, couldn't care less. He's holding two teams hostage. He's holding the Jets hostage, and he's holding Green Bay hostage. The Jets, for example, Derek Carr now, not an option. Jimmy Garoppolo, not an option. As more quarterbacks fall by the wayside, they best hope that Rodgers decides that he wants to play for them, because if he doesn't, they're up the creek without a paddle.
It sounds like the Packers, by everything that we've heard, including their president, Mark Murphy, seeking out a news station in the tiniest of Wisconsin towns at the girls' state high school basketball tournament, by any and all indications, it sounds like the Packers are just waiting for Aaron Rodgers to tell them where he wants to play, but they've told him it won't be Green Bay, by all indications that I've that they're ready to move on. And I honestly, to me, the most interesting outcome in all this, Nick, just for drama and twists and turns and things of that sort, what if Aaron Rodgers says, no, I want to keep playing in Green Bay? What if he pulls out of this Jets deal and says, I want to keep playing in Green Bay? The way that they've handled this offseason, can you put Aaron Rodgers on the bench and say, no, this is Jordan Love's team?
No.
Like what do they do? If Aaron Rodgers decides he wants to stay there,
they play Aaron Rodgers. That's what they do.
I don't know, man.
Oh,
it's
that's
got
what they do.
Real. It's got. And
they
look,
come
man,
back, water under the bridge. He's a future Hall of Fame quarterback. He wants to end his career here in Green Bay. We love him. He gives us the best chance to win. Blah bitty, blah bitty, blah. They pivot and deal Jordan Love somewhere. Or something
you
else.
You might be right, but we might be past the point of no return in terms of how awkward
I don't think,
that situation could be.
I don't think the Packers are gonna be like, you know what, Aaron. Walk. I just don't see it.
I think they'd prefer he retires than I want to stay in Green Bay.
I'm sure they wouldn't have an issue with him retiring. But him wanting to stay, I don't think that they would make some kind of hardline stance and say, well, if we don't trade you, we want you to be leaving the game of football. Because they really can't say that. He's got him handcuffed, which is why he's got him held hostage with the Jets. He has the stroke.
I know this annoys a lot of people. I saw Ian Rappaport today. He was clearly frustrated. Like I think Rich Eisen asked him when this will be over, and Ian Rappaport was like, look, I want this to be over. My life will be better when this is over.
Well, Trey
I'm
Wingo,
personally amused by all this.
Trey Wingo went out there and tweeted that Rodgers was going to be a Jet. He said it was done.
Yeah, he said it was a done deal.
And all the NFL insiders on the NFL Network and ESPN, they were running around like chickens with their heads cut off. It was the most awkward television you'll ever watch.
I'm amused by all of it.
They had to cryptically address the tweet. They didn't want to show the tweet, but they just kept like cryptically following the tweet and saying, is there a new tweet? I don't know. I don't think so. Hardy har and laugh it away. Also, quick note, Austin Eckler. This is interesting. Austin Eckler has received permission to talk to other teams about a trade. Apparently, he and the Chargers were trying to iron out a contract extension. They did not. And so Eckler could be available. And that dude is a beast.
Yeah, he is.
He is really good at football, which seems to be important when you're a professional football player.
That's one of the job qualifications.
Yes. We got more coming up.
Cattles and Rami.
Sacktown Sports. Live and local in the afternoon.
They always keep you on edge.
Cattles.
And Rami.
On Sacktown Sports.
Shout out to the Sac State women's basketball team. They finished the season 25-7, conference champion.
Mike check. Hey.
Mike check.
13 seed versus a 4 seed. That's what they're looking at. The NCAA women's bracket released last night. So the 25-7 Sac State women will face the 25-9 UCLA Bruins. This game will be happening in LA on Saturday night. I think the tip's like 8:30. I think that's Eastern time, so 5:30 Pacific. So again, Sac State women against UCLA, their first tournament ever. Fantastic stuff. We wish them the best of luck, the Sac State women against UCLA. Hopefully, we see an upset, 13 seed, 4 seed. Be fantastic. Meanwhile, the NCAA tournament brackets were released last night, Rami. The number one seeds, Alabama, Houston, Kansas, and Purdue. Not many surprises there.
You know I'm not the biggest college basketball
I do know this,
right?
Yes.
When did, I know Alabama's been a football powerhouse for a very long time. It was weird to me to see Alabama and Houston as one seeds, as somebody who is a fringe, at best, college basketball fans. When did the rise of these programs happen?
It's all about the coach, my man. Nate Oates has kind of built Alabama to be a pretty good recruiting epicenter there in the SEC for basketball now. So he's helped turn things over as soon as he took that job. And I would say Kelvin Sampson has long been one of the best coaches in basketball. He's had some things get in the way.
Oh, I've heard about those things.
Yeah. He's had some, those little old rules and regulations and violations.
Those little things.
Yeah.
Those types of little things.
But nobody would ever doubt his ability to coach. And he's made Houston into one of the best teams in the country. Last year, this year, they are a one seed, and they are a ridiculous defensive team when they're healthy. They play defense like, my goodness, like their hair's on fire, and they're trying to make a play every single second. So Houston, Bill Self brings Kansas back. Of course, Kansas won the tournament last year.
Is he okay? I saw he was in the hospital.
Yeah, he's out of the hospital now. He got a couple of stents reportedly, so he's good to go. He should be coaching in the tournament. And Purdue representing the Big Ten as a one seed. Let's look at the West. Just some quick notes, because I know, look, there's not a ton of college basketball fans likely listening to this show. I'm sure there are still a number of them. And I just want to hit a couple of quick keys to each region here.
Everybody fills out a bracket, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I would hope so.
Are you getting in the old station?
I'm going to Vegas, pool. Bro.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you are going to Vegas.
I'm going to be in the station situation, okay. Right. Which is for potato chips,
potato
of
chips,
yes.
Only?
Yep. So we're going to get involved with that, and I'll be in Vegas with the wife for the tournament.
Nice.
Be on the rooftop of Circa Friday.
Nice.
Yeah.
They got screens out there for you to watch all the action?
Hoping to catch JJ and Fremont Friday. We'll see if that's able to come together.
Oh. JJ. Yeah, man. Got dinner invite out on the table. When you get to Vegas, and we all know if you've been to Vegas, just schedules go out the window.
Very true.
I definitely respect the fact that, we're going to try to catch up. Definitely.
Very true. We're going to try. We're going to try to make it a line. But
are you going to respond to his text?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yes. Okay. Absolutely.
Don't leave him on red, please.
No, never that.
Unbelievable.
Matter of fact, I will make sure that you guys are a part of it.
I want to be kept up to date.
Just so you can witness.
Yes. Yeah, no problem.
Yes.
So the West region.
Sir, it didn't happen,
Gonzaga. I know JJ had Gonzaga on his on the record to be one of the Final Four teams. They got a great seed.
Yes.
This is great for you, JJ. They got a 3 seed because they hadn't played great lately. So they slid down to a 3 seed. This team has always been like a 1 or 2 seed. So them being a 3 seed, they're experienced. Drew Timmy is that team leader. It feels like he's been there for 20 years. But they've got a really good draw. Rick Pitino, if you thought he was out of basketball, no. Rick's still coaching.
He coaches.
He coaches Iona.
I'm kidding. I knew that.
And Iona is in the tournament. They are the 13 seed in the West region. So Rick Pitino, somebody else who's had some off-the-court things.
Some
of those things.
Yeah.
So he'll be back in the tournament this
year.
Actually,
some of those things happened on the court, if I remember that report correctly.
Some of them happened in a restaurant kitchen. That's another. It's a whole other story for another day. Midwest region. Looking at the Midwest, Houston was another team that JJ has in the Final Four. Here's the issue with Houston.
You guys already filled out your brackets?
No.
On the record, right, man. Pay attention to the show, Rami.
We all did it together, yeah. Okay.
Rami, forget about on the record as soon as the segment ended.
Man.
So here's the question about Houston. Marcus Sasser is like the best player. He's hurt. Looks like a groin injury. He missed the conference final yesterday against Memphis. Penny Hardaway's Memphis team. So we'll see if Sasser's healthy. If Sasser's healthy, again, Houston's a dangerous team. You get the chance of seeing Texas A&M in the second round.
Come on, man. You know, we're going to slap these cats around.
You know, JJ, UT.
Five-finger discounts to these boys. I ain't talking about thieving.
What did the five fingers say to the face?
Slap.
Exactly.
We got the interesting thing about Texas is they lost their coach beginning of the year because of domestic violence charges, which have been dropped. And now that coach is Chris Beard is moving on to another team.
Yeah, so he was talking to another
school. Ole Miss.
Mm-hmm. Going to get that gig. So charges dropped. He's been cleared. But they have an interim coach who's been terrific, Rodney Terry. So Rodney Terry takes over, and he's got his team dancing, and they won their conference tournament on Saturday against Texas. Oh, not against Kansas.
Kansas.
So that was nice to see. For JJ. So Texas beat Kansas on Saturday to win that conference.
They got a tough draw, though, Nick, man. They got Colgate, then A&M. We ain't worried about A&M, but yeah, anyway.
The East. Give you a little New England flavor here. Interesting game. One of the most interesting games, I think, in the first round, Kentucky-Providence. So Kentucky, everybody's going to think about the Blue Bloods and Kentucky and how great they've been. They haven't been the same Kentucky team this year. Coach Cal, they've had some ebbs and flows. Providence is a dangerous team. Providence was playing great basketball until about like the last month of the season. Then the wheels fell off a little bit. But they just played UConn tough, and UConn's a top 10 team, top 15 in the country. So Providence played them pretty tough in the Big East tournament. Providence, Ed Cooley's a really good coach. He was the Naismith Coach of the Year last season. And so Providence is going to be a tough, tough out for Kentucky. That's another cool storyline is Bryce Hopkins, who is one of Providence's best players, transferred from Kentucky. So there's a little bit of history
real
there.
Real quick, Nick, and I don't mean to get off on a tangent real fast, because you're from that area and Ed Cooley's part of the Johnson family, man. How do they recruit up there? Like, I've been to Providence College and, you know, the Duncan and a few times, man. How do they get guys there?
Ed Cooley, man.
Dude,
Cooley Magic.
It's interesting.
He is he's a supreme motivator. That dude can talk anybody into playing for Providence. He does a fantastic job. He's from that area, as you know, Jay.
Why are you so surprised they can get people to go up there? Like, is it not?
Have you seen the camp?
No,
yeah,
I haven't.
Campus is not that.
Campus
is
small.
Small, super small.
Really?
Yeah.
They play in
the
former Dunkin' Donuts Center, which is now like the Amica something or whatever.
Yeah.
So they don't have their own.
They don't have that
arena.
Duncan money.
It's
anymore.
Freezing up there, Rami.
Yeah. Mm. So that should be a good game. Number 5 seed in the East, Duke. They're hot, super hot. So watch out for them. And then we jump to the South. The aforementioned number 1 Alabama. The thing about Bama is they've had some bad games this year. They lost to Oklahoma by 24 points this season.
You think they're primed for an upset?
They got Brandon Miller. Who's,
or they can be got?
I mean, well, Miller's a great enough player to win the whole championship. I mean, if he gets on a roll and has one of those, he could be drafted in the top 3 or 4 in the draft. If he gets rolling, then they could win the whole dang thing. But they've had some games where they just don't look good. So they're a little bit of a, I mean, it's all relative, but a shaky 1 seed. Watch out for 10 seed Utah State. They are criminally underranked. They underseeded for this tournament. Utah State's a dangerous team at the 10 seed. So there are some news and notes for you. Also, wanted to mention, congratulations to the Stockton Kings over the weekend, officially headed to the playoffs.
Hey, look at that. So, what a postseason basketball.
I know. We'll get the Stockton Kings in the postseason. We're going to have the Sacramento Kings in the postseason. The NCAA tournament, is here in Sacramento.
I was going to say, what's out of those games that you see out west, what's box office? Because I've never been to a March Madness game, and I am considering,
really?
Even though I'm not the biggest college basketball guy, I just want to go out for the experience, the environment. What's box office of those games that are going to be at the Golden One Center?
I went to a day of the NCAA. I went to a day or two of the NCAA tournament when they were in Providence 1 year, and we went. That was a lot of fun. I also went to the Elite Eight in New Orleans, and oh, ooh, boy, let me tell you.
Well, anything in New Orleans.
That was Joakim Noah's Florida Gators.
Oh.
Let me tell you, that was quite a time. That was quite the time. So. It's a lot of fun. Let me see. I'm going to pull it up right here. So, Utah State, I just mentioned. So, Utah State, Arizona.
Okay.
That's a very interesting game. No, Utah State, Missouri. Sorry. Utah State, Missouri. Arizona, Princeton. But Utah State, Missouri is going to be a really good game.
Not to get too lost in the weeds in this, but.
UCLA, UNC Asheville, not so much. Boise State, Northwestern.
The Arizona, UCLA, that's the teams you want to see.
Yeah.
I think they have a decent chance to get a little far. Arizona just won the Pac-12.
So I'd say that that Missouri game will be fun.
Do you just buy a day pass and you're there for all the games, or how does that work?
That is true.
Yes.
Oh, wow. I like that.
Yes.
Okay.
Don't forget, you are media.
I am media.
Yeah, you probably should be getting that in this week there, Rami.
I'll think about it, Jenny.
We do have the ability to get a media.
I do have access. But I want to go have a few,
informational.
Have a few beers, maybe.
Doesn't mean nothing.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah, you can do that. Well, take your pass. You know how to remove a pass, right? Yeah. Take it off your neck.
Are the Kings on the brink of contention? Our answer coming up.